Good morning, everybody.
We still have something to complete in the Medrash of chapter 29. I believe if I were you, I would save this sheet of the Medrash. You're not going to throw it out.
No.
Especially that section of Gadol HaShalom. Great is peace is something that we should study over and over again. It's one of the great midrashic expressions of what shalom means in, as far as Torah is concerned. But I still have that medrash, and we did not complete it all, so I want to I've numbered them 1, 2, 3, 4. 3 we already did, and that's the one that I want you to review, Gadol HaShalom. But I want you to take a look at number 1. Rhoda, my wife will have a sheet for you. And you're going down the associate thing, right? Yes. Make sure that she gets the right one. Now, Rhoda, it means you're... Okay. Shonu Rabotenu. We are talking about Mizmar LeDavid, Havu LaHashem B'nei Elim, Havu LaHashem Kavod V'Oz. That's chapter 29. That's the chapter that we say Friday night. It's the chapter that we say when we take out the Sefer Torah, when we return the Sefer Torah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You know, it's always interesting when you passing remark, the word havu. Word havu. One wants a real, to truly understand the word havu, so you know, I'm being marvelous Sedra, I'm innocently going over the Sedra. The Sedra was Parshat Shemot. So there Rashi said, let us act wisely with the children of Israel, because they may become a fifth column. So Rashi says, Kol Lashon Hava, or Havu, means Asminu Atzvachem, prepare yourself to do something. It's the first time it appears in Tanakh, and there Rashi is telling us what the word Havu or Hava means. And it, just to me, it was so interesting that... Was it interesting? Sure it was. And Rashi there, so you know, to truly understand, Rashi doesn't always repeat what he says, sometimes he does. But over here, Hava is Chakmalo, Hachinu Atzmachem, any preparation to do something, alright, is Havu. And therefore, Havu Hashem B'nai Elim, prepare yourself to bring before God B'nai Elim, the sons of the mighty ones. Now you will recall that one of the pshatim that we said, and that was on the basis of Medish, B'nai Elim are the angels, that the angels of heaven together with men will praise God. B'nai Elim also means those who remain silent, and that was the medrash that we learned last week, that sometimes silence is great strength, as Avraham Avinu, when God tells him, take your one and only son Yitzchak and bring him as a sacrifice, he remains silent, and then after God tells him, stay your hand and do not sacrifice him, then he speaks up and he says, I had what to say, but I remained silent. Silence very often is golden. Silence is divine. By the way, that's what they wrote in my elementary school yearbook. They had a picture of me. Little did they know. Silence is gold. I was a very, very quiet, shy, withdrawn, introverted. Nobody believes me. Havul Hashem B'nai Elim, the sons of the silent ones. What it really means is it is the strength of the Jewish people that at moments of great suffering we can remain silent and not turn our anger or vent our wrath against God. Mi chomocha, God himself is called the silent one. Mi chomocha ba'elim Hashem, who is amongst the mighty ones like you, God. The Gemara says it also means mi chomocha, who is like you, ba'ilmin, the silent ones, because there are people who reject God, who deny God, who blaspheme him, and in one single moment of time he could let the world know, you fools, I'm the creator, I made it, but he doesn't. We're going to go into another pshat, and this is how the Gemara, this medrash really appears in the Gemara as well, and you'll see its significance. Shonu Rabbeinu, where it says number one, Shonu Rabbeinu, our rabbis learned, Minayin Sha'omrim Avot. How do you know that you say Avot? What is Avot? The structure of the Shmoneh Esrei, the first bracha in Shmoneh Esrei is called the bracha of Avot. The fathers Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoteinu Elokei Abraham Elokei Yitzchak ve'Elokei Yaakov, and the bracha ends Baruch Atah Hashem Mogein Abraham. That's the first bracha. The second bracha of Shmoneh Esrei is the bracha of Gevuros, that which expresses God's might and His strength. Mashiv Haruach Umodin Hakoshem Atok Gibor Li Olam Hashem. You are a strong and mighty one. Lechayei Meitim Atok Av Lahushia Mashiv Haruach Umodin Hakoshem Lechauk Elchayin Lechesed. And His greatest Gevurah, His greatest act of might, it will come when He will resurrect the dead, and the bracha therefore ends Baruch Atah Hashem Lechayei Meitim, the one who brings the dead back to life. So the first bracha is called Avot, the second bracha is called Givurot, might, and the third is called Kedushat Hashem, the sanctification of God's name. Ata Kadosh, you are holy, Vishimcha Kadosh, Baruch Ata Hashem, Akela Kadosh. So the Gemara says, on what basis did the men of the great assembly, when they composed the Shmoneh Esrei, where did they get the idea to structure it with the bracha of Avot, Gevurot, and Kedushat Hashem? So the Gemara says the following: Minayin, how do we know Sha'omrim Avot Talmud Lama? We learn because it says, Hov Hashem B'nei Eilim, bring before God. When you stand before God, bring before Him the sons, the mighty ones, the sons of the. Who are the mighty ones? The Navi refers to the Avos Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov as Elei Ha'ah, that's the mighty ones of the earth. The Gemara goes on to say, Minayin Sha'omrim Gevurot, how do we know that you're supposed to say a blessing that reflects and expresses God's might? Talmud Loma, Havu Hashem, bring, render for God, Kavod Va'oz, honor and His strength. His might, Mechalkil Chaim V'Chesed, that he sustains all life. He's the Rofei Cholim, He is the Mapir Asurim, and of course the Mashiv Haruach Umodin Hakoshim. U'minayin Sha'omrim Kedushot, and how do we know that you say Kedushot, which is the third bracha of the Shmoneh Esrei, Talmud Lama, Havu Hashem, bring before God, render before Him, speak before Him, say before Him, Kavod Shemo, the honor of His great name. Atok Kadosh V'Shimcha, and your name, you are holy, and your name is holy. We're not finished yet. You're going to learn a lot over here in this piece that's going to stay you in good stead. Hani Yudchet Keneged Me, Hani Yudchet, these 18, there are 18 blessings in the Shmoneh Esrei. To what do they correspond? Is there any significance to the number 18? Omer Hillel Birei that Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, Hillel the son of Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni said, Kineged Yud Chet Askarov Sha'omer David B'Sefer Tehillim B'Havu Hashem B'nei Elim. It corresponds to the 18 Askarov. Askarov means the mentioning of the name of God. In this chapter 29, God's name appears 18 times. You don't have to trust the rabbis. You can count them. So the 18 corresponds to the 18 times that David wrote in this, or said in the Sefer of Tehillim, in Hovel Hashem B'Neil, in chapter 29. But Rav Yosef said that why are there 18 brachas? It corresponds to the 18 times that God's name is mentioned in Kriyat Shema. There also, I mean, this is not trivia. This is significant information that if you want to show somebody at a Shabbos table that you're a shtickle or tongue of Chacham, this is one of the questions that you can ask. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, Keneged Yud Chet Chuyot Shabbat Shevra. It corresponds to there are 18 vertebrae. Now, I hope nobody here is a doctor. I'm not sure. But I'm sure that if Chazal say that there are 18 chulyotim sections in the vertebrae of the spine, and can I get this? We say, because in a sense, davening is bending before God. Hani, so the Gemara asks, Chakut the Kasha, you should all have asked the question. Hani, Tamni, sorry. These are Tamni, sorry. Tamni, sorry is Aramaic for 18. Tamni is 8 and sorry is 10. These are 18, but there are 19 brachot in Shemoneh Esrei. I mean, of course, would we call that an oxymoron? That there are 19 brachot in Shemoneh Esrei in the 18? But that's how the Gemara asks it. These are 18, they are 19. Tamar Rava said, Birchat Apikursim B'yavne Tiknuha. The bracha of the Apikursim, which is the 19th bracha that was added? V'lamalchinim Altihi Tikva. That was a bracha. The fact is that originally it was written against the Christians. And the early in its early editions, it said "V'lan notzrim al tehi tikva." Can you imagine what the Mizrach HaChinuch would have done with a Shemoneh Esrei like that? "V'lan notzrim al tehi tikva." There shall be no hope for the Christians, because the Christians became a devastating force, and they remain such. So now Yavne, the period of Yavne, when the Sanhedrin was in Yavne, that was already the period toward the end of the Second Temple, and in the years following the Second Temple, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Gadol b'Yisrael at the time of the destruction itself. And what did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ask of Vespasian when he met up with Vespasian outside the walls of Yerushalayim? So one of the things that he asked for was ten mi Yavne v'chachamel. There was a little bit smedrish. There was a Tzioni Kolel, five fellows down there in Yavne. It was nothing with nothing, but Yavne then became the fortress of Torah that from which we draw sustenance at Hayom Hazeh until today. So that means like this. It means the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah wrote and composed the Shemoneh Esrei, and they lived at the beginning of the Second Temple period. They were the great men at the time of Shivat Tzion, when Jews were coming back. Ezra and Nehemiah, Mordechai, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, these were all members. And remember, the last of the men of the Great Assembly was Shimon HaTzadik. Second mission in Pirkei Avot, Shimon HaTzadik was one of the remnants of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and Shimon HaTzadik, according to the Gemara, lived in the time of Alexander the Great. That means we're talking during the Persian occupation of Eretz Yisrael, followed by the Greek. It's most probably 100 years, but it's 400 years later till Yavne. So the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the men of the Great Assembly at the time of the return from Bavel, are the ones who composed the Shemoneh Esrei. And then when things became impossible because Jews were suffering from their fellow Jews, either as notrim, as Christians, or lamalshimim, they were malshim. They betrayed their people. There were Jews who betrayed their people. So they had to institute a bracha, and that bracha was done in Yavne. Keneged mi tiknuha. So the Gemara says, even though they added a 19th bracha, and they added it because they had to add it, it should in some way rely on some kind of a then. As it says, Keneged mi tiknuha. Hillel Keneged Kel HaKavod Hidim. Hillel was the first of the three opinions. When the Gemara asked, where did we get the 18 from? So it said, because there were 18 times that the name of God is mentioned in chapter 29. There's a 19th time. And the 19th time is not God's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, but Kel. Kel HaKavod Hidim. The God of glory, Hidim, thundered. So that's the 19th. Therein they found a source for the 19th prophet. Le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said that Shemoneh Esrei corresponds to the 18 times that God's name is mentioned in Kriyat Shema. But there's a 19th. And the 19th is the word Echad itself. Echad itself clearly speaks of God. 19, by the way, it just occurs to me, that maybe the Echad was extremely important. Because the Echad is that which stands against the Christian world more than anything else. Not a Father, a Son, and a Holy Ghost, or anything of that sort. An absolute Echad. Absolute unity. It could be, of course, I Kel HaKavod Hidim, that God thunders against those who undermine Jewish faith. Let Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, according to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, who said that the 18 brachot in Shemoneh Esrei correspond to the 18 bends of the spinal cord. I don't know much about anatomy, but it seems there's one little a chain or a link in the spinal cord.
The context, the very bottom of the spinal cord, has small bones,
and everyone
says tailbone.
Wait a minute.
Is that can be considered part
of
the last
part of the separated part. Thank you. Very good. All right. Let's go to number two. Zeu Sha'omar Katov Lo Meirosh Basesa Diparti. Lo Meirosh Basesa Divarti. At the beginning, I did not speak in concealment. This is a pasuk in Hosea. What does it mean? Lo Meirosh Basesa Divarti. Amar Rab Ami. Rab Ami said, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Betchila. And you see, what this is going to take us into is a second or another approach to this whole chapter 29. You will recall, according to the Maldim, chapter 29 was talking about a storm, a terrible storm that came upon the Middle East. It wreaked havoc in country after country. And when it came to Eretz Yisrael, as though it bows down lifnei Hadras Kodesh, the sanctity and the holiness of God, and here in Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden it begins to subside. But there is another approach, and that other approach is going to appear at this point in the Medrash. that all the sounds of nature in collision are all a description of God giving Torah at Sinai. A whole world trembles as God descends upon the mountain. Lo me rosh vaseisa divarti. God says at the beginning, when I gave Torah to my people, I did not do it in concealment. Omar Rabbani. Rabbani said, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tchila. Lo nitatia. At first I did not give Torah. Lo b'makom choshech. Not at a place of darkness. V'lo b'makom hester. And not a place of concealment. V'lo b'makom afela. Not a place Afela is far. That was what I was looking for. Elopamid bar nitna Torah Yisrael. In the desert, Torah was given to Israel. Bifar Hesya, in the open. The Makom Hefker, in a no man's zone. Place that's open to everybody. She'ilu nitna Torah be'eretz Yisrael, because what Torah had been given in Eretz Yisrael, how you only umos ha'olam. The nations of the world would say, "Ein lahem chelek bo, we have no share." Torah was given in Eretz Yisrael. I imagine this must be Goyim who at some point finally decided that Eretz Yisrael really belongs to us. That if he gave it to us in Eretz Yisrael, so then it's us. And really, Torah doesn't speak to them. That's why God gave it in a place that is honorless, the midbar, in a desert, the fahesia, in the open. Anybody who wants to receive Torah can receive Torah. And I don't think that it necessarily means that anybody who wants to accept the 613 mitzvahs has to accept the 613 mitzvahs. But listen, it is the Rambam. I think you should have learned that Rambam. The Rambam says, Chasidei Umot Ha'olam, the righteous of the nations of the world, are those who fulfill, keep the seven mitzvot. And the Rambam goes on to say, and it's not because intellectually they have decided to keep the seven mitzvot, but they believe that God gave the seven Noahite mitzvot at Sinai to all the nations of the world. But if somebody but keeps the seven Noahide mitzvahs only because of Hechra Hadad, he has made an intellectual decision of that sort. Here there was the senses played around a little bit with the Rambam. In many of our earlier Rambams before this generation, it said that if one accepts the seven Noahide mitzvahs as intellectually, because it's a good idea, it is not made chasidehem, is not called chasid umot olam, elo michachmeyem, is called one of the wise ones. And where Rambams now have been corrected to the original version of what the Rambam said, that the one who keeps the seven Noahide mitzvahs because of an intellectual leap, eino lo me chasideyem, the lo me chachameyem, is neither one of the chasidians nor one of their wise men. That's, and I think any Rambam you will look into now, you have Hilchos Melachim over there?
Yeah.
Oh, here, okay. Remember, did you learn it?
Yeah, we're up to chapter 5.
Yeah. Let me say, I think this one clearly should have the new version. Is it Hilchos Melachim? Oh, here. Yes. Here it is. It's the end of chapter 8, Halacha Yud Aleph. I'll just read it quickly. Kol hamekabel shev mitzvot v'nizhar al sotam. Anybody who accepts upon himself the seven Noahide mitzvot and is careful to keep them, hareze mechasidei umot ha'olam, he's one of the pious of the nations of the world, yesh lo chelech lo rabba, and he has a place in the world to come. I imagine there's no apartheid in olam abba, yesh lo chelech lo rabba, but who should you kabel otam, Only if he accepts them, he has sold them, and he does them in nation. See, but behen HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah, v'hodiyon v'alidei Moshe Rabbeinu. That's all on condition that he keeps the seven Noahide mitzvahs because God commanded so in Torah, and so he transmitted to us through Moshe. Sheb b'nei Noach, we told them that Moshe is the one that told them that b'nei Noach in ancient days accepted it upon themselves and were commanded to keep the seven Noahide mitzvahs. But if he did it because of an intellectual decision, he's not the ger who can live in our midst, and he's neither one of the chassidei umot ha'olam nor one of their wise men. So I think that that's clearly based on this medrash here. The medrash says that God gave it b'fahesya, in broad daylight, in a place that's neutral territory. That's what we call it. The midbar is neutral, so that the message should go out that there's something here for everybody in this world. Yochol nitnot the laila, I would think the Torah was given at night time at Lomar, and he by Yom HaShlishi, be Yotaboke, and Parsha Gitro, it says, and it came to pass on the third day at morning. Yochol nitnot b'shtika, I would think that maybe Torah was given in silence, so that God whispers Torah to the Jewish people, because he doesn't want anybody else to hear it. In Talmud Lomar, it says, by Yehi Kolotu Brakim, there were great sounds and brakim. Yochol lo hom shomin et hakol. I would think maybe yes, there was a voice that came up, but they didn't hear it. Talmud Lomar, kol Hashem b'koach. That's here in this chapter 29. The voice of God comes out with great strength. Kol Hashem b'hoda. The voice of God comes out with great majesty. Kol Hashem shover arazim. The voice of God breaks the cedars. Kol Hashem chotzev lahavodesh. It's like fire that goes in to the neshama. Kol Hashem yichol leyol. Hashem amav yashav uvei halok kulo mekabod. Kishenosam hakadosh baruch hu tolo Yisrael. They're learning this from chapter 29. So you see, the medrash is learning that the sounds and the might of God that is described in chapter 29 is the might of God as it appeared at Sinai. By the way, that therefore would be the reason why we say it when the Sefer Torah is brought to the back to the law, because it speaks of and it describes revelation at Mount Sinai. Does not say when God gave Torah to Israel, his voice went from one end of the earth to the other, and all of the kings of the world were grabbed with trembling in their palaces. So they knew what to do. So who was their wise man? They gathered by Bilam. On the Lord, they said to him, "Ma kol ha'amun hazeh she'shamanu?" What's this great sound that we hear? What's the noise? Sheba mevi mabul la'olam? Is it possible that God is bringing a mabul? Shenema, as it says, Hashem la mabul yasab, here in chapter 29, Vayeshem Hashem elech lo'olam amalei. So Bilam said, no, it can't be that he's bringing a Mabul, because Kranishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalom Yopi Mabul La'olam. God already promised, he swore that he will not bring a Mabul to the world. Shenema, ki mei noach zot li Hashem Yishbati. Pasuk in Yishayahu, that I swore no more Mabul. On the low, Hashem Mabul shall mayim enel maybe Abul Mabul shall eish maybe Shenema Hashem the eish nishpat. Just give me a second over here. All right. So they asked Bilam. Maybe God doesn't bring a Mabul of
a deluge of water, but he does bring a deluge of fire. God has simply promised that he doesn't bring a marble at all. Ella, because God said, you know, I'm not going to destroy the world again. So Bilam has to explain to them, what are these terrible noises that they hear? Why is the world shaking? Ella, Chemda Tova Yeshlo Bebeit Gnazav. There is a very good and most desirable object that he has in his treasure house. Shenignizo etzlo tuf tuf kuf ayin dalit kod darot kodim shenivra olam. It has been with him for, what is it, 974 generations, even before the world was created. V'not nala amo, and he's giving it to his people. Shene'emar, what does it say here in this chapter? Hashem owes the Amogi Tain. Hashem owes the Amogi Tain. Hashem Yivarech Tamov Hashalom. What's the might that God gives to his people? The might that God gives his Torah. Hashem owes the Amogi Tain. Hashem Yivarech Tamov Hashalom. Shalom Vikni Sotcha, the person who has Torah, then there's peace when you go out. Shalom Vikziyatcha, shalom when you come in. Shalom in Kol Adam, peace with everybody. Rabbi Hanina Sgana Kahanam Omar, shalom Vikziyatcha. Shalom Vikziyatcha. Peace in your eyes. I'll tell you why I stopped over there. There is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim Omer. Rabbi Hanina, who was the assistant to the high priests, said, Hevei mitpalel b'shloma shel malchut. Pray for the peace of the government. She'ilmole mora'a. If not for the fact that people fear government, ish etrei eru chayim b'la'o, a man would swallow up his friend alive. If you take a closer look at every word, every word is so laden with meaning. He says, if not for for the fear of government, in other words, we're afraid of external factors. Not everything, not all goodness comes from within our neshamas. Ish, a man. The word ish means a man who's important, who's significant. Re'eyu means his friend. A man, a great man, even his good friend, he'd swallow him up. And you think he'd kill him first and then swallow him up? Chayim v'la'o. Swallow him up alive. We need government. Having his father, Shlomo Shlomo Malchus. By the way, it means quite clearly that the Rechinim Sgana Kanim is saying, you know, you have to pray for the government. I mean, I don't see any heter not to pray for the peace of the government. I mean, how's it trying to defer his mission? But what's significant about it is, in every Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, you always have to know what was it that motivated this particular person to say this particular thing. So in that Mishnah they say the following. A Sgan, the assistant to the Kohen Gadol, should become the next Kohen Gadol. Rav Hanina, of all the strange things, his title was Sgan HaKohanim. He was the assistant to a number of Kohanim Gedolim, because he was always bypassed. Why was he always bypassed? Because he was a Kohen, a Sgan HaKohanim, toward the end of the Second Temple, when the position was purchased. They bought it from the Romans for money. Obviously, Rav Hanina, either he was a pious man, and he's quoted a number of times in important halakhot, especially with regard to the Beit HaMikdash. So do you know what his whole life is?
The guy who always remains second best and never makes it to the top. And why doesn't he make it to the top? Because of the corruption of government. And for him to say, Havei mitpalel b'shlomah shel malchut, pray for the peace of the government, that's an extremely significant statement. I have a feeling that's why he says over here, shalom within. We need shalom from within. He suffered so much from the fact that there was no shalom from within, but there was corruption from within.
Was he a kohen?
Yes. Yes, a sgan is always the one who stands in waiting, ready to do that which only a kohen can do in the event that the kohen, for some reason, the kohen gadol is incapacitated. For example, the Mishnah says that in preparation for Yom Kippur, when all of the service in the Beit HaMikdash can only be performed by the Kohen Gadol, matkinim lo kohen acher. There was another Kohen in waiting, prepared to take over should something happen to the Kohen Gadol, because the entire atonement of the Jewish people depends on that one Kohen Gadol. So Rav Hanina was a Skana Kohen. If I'm mentioning already a Mishnah in Avos that's related to this Medrash, I might as well mention another Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. They quote Shmuel HaKatan. This is a beautiful, beautiful Mishnah. Shmuel HaKatan, Shmuel the small one. Now they say that it was called small Shmuel because Shmuel HaGadol was the Shmuel the Navi, and from Shmuel till Shmuel, lo come to Shmuel, did not arise one like Shmuel. Shmuel HaKotan, but he was also called Shmuel HaKotan because he was truly, truly humble. He was truly humble. And the Gemara gives a whole bunch of instances about it. But in Pirkei Avos, he only says one thing, and it's not even something he made up. He quotes a pasuk. Shmuel HaKotan used to say, "Binafol o yivaka al tismach." When your enemy falls, don't be happy. Don't be happy. So the Gemara says when they had to compose the 19th bracha in Shana Esrei. That 19th bracha in Shana Esrei, if you read it carefully, that 19th bracha is dripping with, or it seems to be dripping with, absolute hatred. V'lam al-shinim al-ti-tikva v'chol e'vecho me'hedo yukaresu v'azeydim me'hedo ta'ake t'shabe t'marke. You don't even have to know the meaning of each word. It's just destroy, cut out, obliterate. But if they're able to write something like that, able to write something like that, it's very difficult. I tell you, it's good that the Shimon Esrei didn't refer to the notes from as Yehudon, because if they would have done that, you understand, the whole country would have fallen apart. Little Jew boy, understand? Okay, that's today's parsha. Yeah, that's today's parsha. It's funny. The country is it's fascinating to live here. That he called Dan Kurtzer a Yehudon, a little Jew boy. By the way, what business did Dan Kurtzer have to say that we should be spending more money on the handicapped than on the Itnachuliyot? This is a brazen interference. That was on my mind. It just comes out. I can't help it. That's all. V'lai Yehudonim al tehi tikva. To the little Jew boys, that's what did you and the Christians were. The Gemara says that when Rabbi Gamliel in Yavda arrived at the conclusion that we have to now include in the Shmon Esrei a bracha that God should save us from our enemies from within, that also is what Rav Hanina meant, there should be shalom abayit. So he asked, Klum yesh odom, is there a man who can compose this bracha? What was the question? So I believe it's brought by Rav Kook in his sefer. It's also HaMedrash BaHamaser, one of the classics of Drush, and the Rav quoted it, Rav Soloveitchik quoted it a number of times. He used it in one of his major eulogies. Rabbi Gamliel asked, is there a man who can compose the bracha against the enemies that we suffer from within? So the decision was made, Shmuel HaKatan is the one. Because Shmuel HaKatan is the only one who is capable of composing a bracha of this sort that seems to be dripping with hatred. And most probably, he cries as he writes each letter, because his whole being was binefol oyivcha al tismah. Don't be happy in the fall of your enemy. Rav Gamliel did not want to permit into the Shemona Esrei something that was written with hatred. Which Jew was there that was capable of writing a bracha of that sort and do it without hate? There was only one. And there was Shmuel HaKatan. Because Shmuel HaKatan is one who had succeeded in removing hatred completely from his heart. Alright, let's go. So that was Rav Hanina Skana Kohanim. Rabbi Nosson Omer says, Shalom Malchus Beis David, Shenemar L'marva HaMisrael L'Shalom Ein Keitz. The strength that he's talking about, and the peace, Hashem Oz V'Amo Yitain, Hashem Yibarech Amo V'Shalom. What's the blessing of Shalom? That's that there should be peace to Malchus Beis David, the royal house of David, as it says, L'marva HaMisrael L'Shalom Ein Keitz. This is a pasuk in Yeshayahu where he is talking about the peace of the house of David. Rebbe Yomer, Zesh Shalom Torah Shenama, Hashem Oz V'Yamo Yitay. We already said that Oz, what is the Oz of the Jewish people? Torah. That's the great strength that he gave to them. That which keeps us and has made us into an eternal people. Hashem Yivarechat Amov HaShalom, the Torah, there should be Shalom with, through, and together with Torah. Alright? Number four. Here you'll come up against, and remember, number three is the one that you should review and go over and over again. It's really, really worthwhile to go through that. Number four. Bar Kapora Omar, Bar Kapora said, God Lashon, greatest peace, should Dibe HaKatuv Lashon Badui, Bineviim, Kedei Lahatel, Lahatil Shalom, Bein Ish, Li Ishto. The pasuk says Lashon Badui. Lashon Badui means a white lie. And we'll see white lies. And one of the white lies is Shenema Imei No Ata Kora Velo Yoladet Vordit Violadet Ben. This is talking, and here it says the Nevi'im. In Nevi'im we find a little white lie alert. This is the angel who comes to the wife of Manoah, who is going destined to be the mother of Shimshon. He may not atakoro, you are barren, below your ladit, and didn't give birth for a lead. You will become pregnant, be a ladit then, and you'll give birth to a son. Avolo Manoah lo amakein. He didn't say that to Manoah. What does he say when he finally appears for a second time to Manoah? He says, and Akora, he doesn't have to say that, Shashtil, all that he says is that whatever I told your wife, that's what you have to be careful of. Omar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, God Lashon, greatest peace, Shediber Akosim Loshim Bodu Batora. We find a white line in Torah in order that there should be peace between Joseph and his brothers. That's what it says. Ko tomu Yosef. So shall you say to Yosef, Ono sona. At the end of Pasha Parichi, at the end of Sefer Bereshit, the brothers say to Yosef, so said your father before he died, forgive the sin of your brothers. We don't find that Yaakov commanded anybody to say anything of the sort. They made it all up. But they made up
the untruth. How do you like that? See, I'm even very careful. I don't want to use the L word. The untruth. Omer Shimon ben Chalapta, God la Shalom, greatest peace, kishaborah for the broken Olamo, also Shalom ben Elyonim retakt Olam, when God created the world, he made peace between the upper part of the world and the lower, the upper part of the universe and the lower. Beyond Bishon, on the first day he created, min ha'elyonim u'min ha'tachtonim. On the first day he created heaven and earth, the upper and the lower. Shenema b'reishit b'ro v'kim tashmonim et ha'aretz. Beyond Sheni, harakia min ha'elyonim, he made the firmament. That's on the upper part of the universe. Beyond Shlishi, yikavu ha'mayim min ha'tachtonim. The waters should be gathered together. That means he's doing something for the world below. Beyond the V'i, Yehi Ma'orot Be'elyonim, let there be lights, that's up in the heavens. Beyond Chamishi was Yishritzu Hamayim Batachtonim, that the waters should give out all sorts of living beings. B'Shishi, the sixth day, Bora Esa'olam, he created man. Guf min ha'tachtonim u'neshama min ha'elyonim. Man is the one who unites within himself heaven and earth. Ein li elo ba'olam hazeh bi'olam haba minayim. How do we know? I imagine what the Gemara means is that that's only true ba'olam hazeh. How do we know that you need peace in olam haba too? Hinini nota el eleo kanohor shalom. And somehow or other, the Medrash must hold that that pasuk is talking about the world to come, that there will be peace then. Great is peace, that the first message that Mashiach is going to bring to the Jewish people is going to go to the world. Yeshayahu says how beautiful it is upon the mountains, the voice of the one who brings the great message. And what is the message? Mashmiah Shalom. He lets us know that there will be peace, real peace. Okay, beautiful chapter 29. Now we're going to the certainly what is the at least if we just get the text down straight, then we will be able to deal with it in greater detail. Chapter 23, Psalm 23. I can't even say chapter about it. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a when do we say it? Svarat says it Friday night in after Shmona Esrei. Everybody says it. I don't know how many times during Sudash Lishit. By Chassidim, the Minhag used to sing Mizmor LeDavid three times. Half Chassidim do it once, twice. Mizmor LeDavid. Six psukim. Mizmor LeDavid, a song unto David. Interesting. The next chapter, 24, is going to start with LeDavid Mizmor. The Gemara says, what's the difference between Mizmor LeDavid and LeDavid Mizmor? What's the difference between the two? So the Gemara says, when it says Mizmor first, it means that the divine presence rested upon him first, and then he began to sing. When it says LeDavid Mizmor, it means that he began to write his poetry, and during the course of the writing, the divine presence overwhelms him. In other words, so Mizmor LeDavid means that he was granted the Ruach HaKodesh in order to write this chapter. Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem Ra'i, God is my, I can't even say God, the Lord is my shepherd. Lo echsa, I shall not want. A song by David, Hashem is my shepherd. You know, I like that better. Oswald's translation, Hashem is my shepherd. Okay. I shall not want, I shall not lack.
Bino deshe yarbitseini. No, deshe. Deshe is the ground covered with thin green grass. Na'o deshe are the meadows, the lush meadows. Yarbitseini, he makes me lie down there. Almei menuchot yena'aleini, by the tranquil waters, beside the still waters, yena'aleini, he leads me. In these first two psukim, David is talking about himself as a shepherd, and God is his shepherd. What is it about the sheep? A shepherd, how do you say it in English? A sheep? Huh?
A lamb.
A lamb?
No.
Yeah, a lamb?
Okay.
A little lamb. A little lamb. You know, we're city boys over here. You know, I like the word shepherd. That's the one I'm going to stick with. A shepherd is really a weak, frail. I think we will also be able to describe the shepherd as being naive, very trusted, can't really take care of itself. Can't take care of itself. It needs the shepherd. The shepherd has to provide it with food and with drink. We're talking about the most basic necessities of life. And in the first pasuk it says, Hashem Ra'i, God is my shepherd. In other words, he's the shepherd. I'm the shepherd. And because of that, lo atzar, I don't lack for anything. Bin Odeshayabitzin means he gives me food. And Alei Menuchot Yina'aleini, he leads me. By Alei Menuchot, he gives me water. What it really means is total and complete dependence on God. We're talking, of course, about a mighty David who has conquered, who has a kingdom, who has wealth, and who has might, but he expresses himself in a way that nothing, he believes that nothing is the result of his own actions, doing deed. This is the most profound, in its simplicity, it's the most profound rejection of the idea of Kochi v'otzem yodi, my strength and the might of my hand is that with which I've accomplished. This six psukim are most probably the most powerful song in all of Tanakh to the man who has bitachon. The word bitachon is going to get its definition and its description right here. It's amazing. I'm completely dependent, he says, I'm a little shepherd who's completely dependent on God. Of course, David HaMelech is in a very good position to know what a shepherd is and what a shepherd is. And you know, if you want to, you can become a little bit of a psychologist, but you know, I always say you have to be very, very careful before you become a psychologist. But this is not, this is good psychology. David HaMelech, even when he achieves the peak of his power, you know what he looks back on? The good old days. The best days of his life were the days that he was out with the sheep in the meadow. He says, there's another pasuk in Tehillim where he says, and it's in Shmuel also, you took me from the meadow, from the sheep. Those were his greatest moments. The peace, the tranquility, the menuchas hanefesh, you understand? Without fear, without trembling, without awesome responsibility, without war, without battle, without death. The best period of his life. And he looks back, or does he know what it means? The peace and tranquility of being out in a meadow and I'm beginning to get ideas, you know, this is, you know, a little warm weather someplace and beautiful grass. Nafshi Yishovev, the next two psukim.
So what was Jeremy saying? He makes me lie down, but where's the word come from? I mean, I'm just looking about this.
You know where it is?
And then, this is contrast.
I'll tell you exactly where it comes from. In Shir Hashirim. In Shir, beginning, I think, the first chapter in Shir Hashirim, where the shepherd asks the girl, Eichot Tarbitz Bat Zoharayim, where do you lie your sheep down during the afternoon at the hot period of the day? I think it appears a few times in Shir Hashirim. Huh? Yeah, that's it. Well, I just want to prove that the word to lie down. Who? Larbitz Makot, I don't know. Yeah.
Don't lay a hand on.
Huh?
Don't lay a hand on. That's her feet.
Wait a minute. Just a moment. I don't have to go to Shir Hashirim. Kora Robots Kadi Uchalavi Miikimelo. Is that in Pasha Bayechi? When Yaakov says what Yehuda is going to be, Kora, he bends down. Robots, he lies Kadi like a lion, Uchalavi, like a wolf. Miikimelo, who's going to get him up? And Rabbi over there, Rashi explains that when he's going to settle into Eretz Yisrael, he's going to settle in the city. Kogar Rabbi's Kadi Uchalavi Miyikimana. What good that I caught this now, because I would have gone home and I would have gotten it then, you understand? And then I'd kick myself a whole day. Why didn't I think of Kogar?
Huh? You
would have
said you got the computer.
I don't know how to turn it on. So nobody can suspect me of getting it on the computer. Kora Robots Kadi. Okay. In the next two psukim, Gimel and Dalet, he continues using the metaphor of sheep and a shepherd. And now things are not that peaceful and not that quiet. Nafshi Yishovev, the word Yishovev can have a number of meanings, and I'm not even sure that, you know, he restores my soul is what the English says. It's not necessarily that or that alone. Sheep jump around. The Shovavim, yeah. And they may occasionally run off and get lost or run off in the wrong direction. Who brings them back? The shepherd brings them back. Nafshi Yishovev, and by the way, we pointed out a few weeks ago that the word nafshi, and this may be one of the places that it does not have to mean the soul, just means I'm a shovav. I'm a shovav. And here the shepherd goes running off. But Shovav also means that it brings me back. If I stray, it brings me back. And Yancheni, and he leads me, B'ma'a Gleit Tzedek, in the path of righteousness, L'ma'a Shemo, for his name's sake. Now what's happening over here in this pasuk is that he is taking us now from the beginning of the pasuk where he's talking about Shepsala, and it's now becoming man. But not, you know, Shepsala don't have to go B'magle Tzedek, but man goes B'magle Tzedek. And there's something else. I may have a feeling I haven't found this, but I'm going to stop looking. When Goliath comes down into the valley, you have the Philistines on one side, people of Israel on the other, and he comes down and he challenges somebody to go out and fight with him. So it says then that David had been home in Bethlehem. Three of his brothers were at the front lines, and his father sent him, he sent him with food and provisions, and even sent him for something for the officers. And he comes, and he sees troops moving back, forth, there's tumult in the camp, and he sees this giant coming down into the valley, and he sees the Ma'gal. The word is called Ma'gal, that's the word that appears there, that the troops were sort of, you know, the old days, the covered wagons, you know, in a circle, so that they should be able. He comes to the Ma'gal, and there he asks them, well, what's going on? And they tell him the challenge that this fellow Goliath has presented them with. His eldest brother comes and meets him there, and his eldest brother gets angry with him and attacks him. I know why you're here. You're here. You came here to see the excitement. Brother gets angry with him. Brother says, like, what do I do? And he ends up in the Ma'gal, and he keeps talking with people. In a sense, David HaMelech is saying, you took me from tending the sheep, and you brought me to the Ma'gal. You brought me there. It was you who wanted me to go out and wage war with Goliath. For me, that became the Ma'gal Tzedek, the righteous path in which I go. And you did it, Leman Shemo, because Goliath blasphemed the name of God. That's the way I read the pasuk. I like it. Gum. I should have xeroxed for you the pasuk over there. Gam ki elech b'gei talmodes. Lo yirara. Yay, though I walk. You know, here I came to read the Yom Scroll translation. It's just, it's in my bones already. Yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What we are talking about over here is you have to take David HaMelech serious with every word, especially since I pointed out that this is called Mizmor LeDavid, which means that the divine presence began to rest upon him before he says it. So there is no exaggeration over here. Can you imagine going through the gates of the valley of death and not being frightened? Do you know what kind of bitachon God that requires? Awesome bitachon. Yea, though I walk through the valley of Shad, I will not fear any evil. Ki atah imodi, because it's a simple statement. You're there with me. You know, we talk bitachon, and there are people who always tell you should have bitachon. My doctor. He started with me 20 years ago. 20 years ago. I think the first time I was going through the difficulties of Aliyah then. And I was a shtickler wreck. So he told me, go home and study the Chovos HaLevavos Shar HaBitachon. Go study the Shar. Huh? That was his prescription. For years I didn't want to learn it, because he told me. There it is, I have my little Chovos HaLevavos with me, and I'm going through the Shar HaBitachon. Mizmor LeDavid is the classic bitachon. He means every word. So I walk through the valley of death, I feel it. I'm not afraid. Ki atoy modi, because you're with me. Shift the whole mishantecho hema yenachmuni. In this pasuk also, in 3 and 4, there are the mixed metaphors. It's both shefsala and man. So when he says shifticho umishantecha heimo yenachamuni, the thy rod and thy staff, shifticho represents God's striking, the strike Shevet is that with which you, in other words, it may mean that God punishes, and I still have faith in him. Mishantecho is that which leads. You know, sometimes a Shepsalim needs a little zets over there, that's with a Shevet. Sometimes the Shepsalim needs to be, you know, getting back into line, that's Mishantecho. Heimo yinachamuni, they console me, because I know that you care about me. You may cause me pain, but you cause me pain because you care about me. It's Atata, you understand? And Atata sometimes has to do that. In the last two psukim of the chapter, the metaphor of sheep and shepherd is no longer used. Now it's a guest in the home of the one who has taken him in. It's man. We are guests in this world. You prepare a table before me, naked, so that I, in view, in the face of my enemies, those who torment me, those who cause me pain. The Shanta Hashem and Roshi Kosili Voya. David HaMelech, of course, over here can be referring. What did Shmuel do to make him king? What was the act of making king? When he put oil, anointing oil, Dishanta Bashemen Roshi Kosi, Vivoya, my cup overflows. Now, the word Rivaya, just like you have a person who's ra'eiv, is hungry, when he eats, he is sobeya. The one who is thirsty is tsomei. When he drinks, he becomes roveh or revaya. So it doesn't only mean that the cup overflows. It means that I drink. No, I'm a guest at your table, and take a look at what you have. Look what you have done for me.
That's so right.
So did I. I have to give a pasuk. Haman is Sorer HaYehudim. So he says, I sit at peace at my table, though there are enemies out there, oppressors who want to torment me. So did I. In the presence of Tzoradai, I'm able to keep moving, despite the fact that there are people who want to do me in. And of course, unfortunately, it also reflects the struggle that David had with Shaul. Shaul pursued him for years. The Maldim, in his explanation of this chapter, describes, and we'll talk about yet, the various places that David had to flee, and he ended up in desert that was absolutely dry, arid, without water. And David, in his mind, feels that God is protecting him, and it's mei menuchot yinahaleini. David had an extremely difficult life from the time that God took him from behind the sheep. Remember, when Shmuel comes to the house of Yishai in order to anoint the king over Israel, so he sees all the children, and each one he thinks is the one that God wants anointed, and God says, no, not this one, not that one. Ha'odom, the great pasuk, Ha'odom yid elo einayim, man sees with his eyes, v'ha'elo king yid el alevo, and God sees to the heart of man. But it didn't occur to anybody that David is the one. So Shmuel had to ask Yishai, do you have any more children? He says, yeah, there's one out with the sheep out there. Get him, Shmuel says, get him. So he's literally taken from behind by the sheep. Ach tov v'chesed yirifunim kol yimei chaya. He ends with a prayer that only goodness and kindness shall pursue me all the days of my life, v'shavti b'beit Hashem, and that I should dwell in the house of Hashem la'orech yamin. You know what he's saying over here too? I'm sure that Dan Amelot knows, you know, sometimes you grow up and you become a shepherd. You know, you have to go through a change of profession at some time in life. But he sees that which takes the place of being with the chefs out in the field is Shafti B'Vei Hashem, to be in the house of God. We're going to see soon chapter L'Dover Hashem Odi. Achas Sha'alti Mi'eis Hashem Osar Vakesh Shifti B'Veis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. I want to live, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now there's something very interesting about this chapter. In the first part of the chapter, he addresses God in third person. Beginning in Pasuk 4, he addresses God in second person. Watch. Mizmor L'Dov Hashem Ro'i Hashem, He is my shepherd. B'noz Desha Yarbitzeni, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Almei Menuchot Yenahaleni, He leads me beside the still waters. Nafshi Yishovei Yamcheni B'Melech. Gam ki, Pasuk 4, Gam ki Elech B'Gates HaMavos Yehi, I walk through the valley of the Lo Yirara Ki Atah Imadi. It switches from third person to second person. We have spoken a number of times about the phenomenon of brachos. In brachos, the Rishonim ask that there's a switch from second person to third person. Baruch Atah Hashem. Every bracha begins with Baruch Atah Hashem. That means I'm speaking directly to God. Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, our God, the King of the world. Right? And then, Asher Kiddushonu B'Mitzvosav, who sanctified us, He sanctified us. If he's talking in second person, then every bracha should be Asher Kiddushonu B'Mitzvotecha V'Tzivitonu, You commanded us. But every bracha, what happens is that there's a switch from second person to third, which means you go from being close, I'm talking to God, Baruch Atah, You God, You are my God, okay? And then all of a sudden, I'm taken aback, and I seem to be viewing God from the distance. So we said already a number of times, the Rashba and the others will say that person begins by, I want to thank God. And then I describe him as Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, our God, the King of the world, and all of a sudden I'm overwhelmed by the idea, who am I talking to? The King of the universe, the King of the universe. I am taken aback, and I understand that I must now distance myself from God. Me, little, insignificant mortal, is standing here talking in second person to the God of the whole universe. In this chapter, we have precisely the opposite phenomenon. Over here, he is describing the man of great trust and great faith in God. And you know what happens over here? The greater one's trust in God is, the closer he becomes. And in order to demonstrate that in such a graphic way, he begins by talking about God in third person. And then when he comes to the most difficult part, the moment of greatest crisis, Gam ki Elech B'Gates HaMavos, I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. At that moment, I feel, here he achieves the peak of his guitar, ki Atah, second person, Imadi, you're right here with me. That in and of itself is the definition of what we're talking about. You're not alone. Yeah.
Can you also look at it from the point of the maturation of a person matures? First he's a child and he's surrounded by, he doesn't have connection with who provides him with what. But as he grows older and he goes through the problems of life, then he realizes that Hashem is close to him.
There's no question about it that maturity is is an extremely significant factor. The only thing is, people can mature and never grow up. he does. In other words, the fumayi, the yorei shamayim, as he grows older and as he matures, you start to feel the presence. You should be able to feel the presence of God even more. You see it in events that take place. You see, but remember, for us to achieve what this chapter is talking about, this is a lifetime. This is a lifetime of effort. I think that if we would take a poll, most people, those telling us the truth, would say that they're scared when they're in the valley of the shadow of death. And the ones who say that they're not frightened, well.
Why?
But it's just. We'll talk a little bit more about the structure of these six psukim. They're absolutely amazing. It's beautiful. Do you feel the way I feel about this chapter? Good. Huh?
I was waiting.
Okay, all right. Yes?
I was just